Here, Vince Burns, accompanied by Carla Dundas. Wasn't that amazing? Vince Burns and Carla Dundas, you make that look so easy and it sounds so great. Welcome. I want to get to know each of you a little bit so our folks listening can too. And let me start with Vince. Tell me a little bit about your background, including when you learned to do what you're doing and how you learned.
Yeah, I was actually, I started in public schools playing the violin and took private lessons, and I got very serious about classical music and switched to the viola kind of in high school, and I pursued that in college and afterwards. And then I got very burned out in that kind of scene. It's a very narrow area of correctness for that type of music,
sure.
Even though I loved playing in orchestras and all that. It turns out that along the way I became friends with this great Irish fiddle player named Brendan Mulvihill, who's lived in the D.C. area where I was living. I became friends with him, and then when I got to the point of being totally burned out, I had a whole year I didn't play a note of music, which is terrible as a musician because it's such an important part of your life, you know, it's so satisfying. And then it occurred to me, well, I'll try to get him to teach me a few Irish tunes. And so that really is how I got into it. I was very lucky because he's a great teacher and a very particular way of approaching things. And it basically informs everything that I don't know that I would even play this music if I hadn't been friends with him and learned from him. But so that's kind of from that point, I had a natural feeling for the Irish lilt or the rhythm to it, which seemed to really suit me. And I really love playing it, so that's how I got here.
That's a great story. So that, I guess, random encounter with mm-hmm. him, somewhat mm-hmm. Random, is what led you to doing this. What brought you to Pittsburgh?
Well, I had a kind of a job change, and I was ready for a change of scenery, so I basically had some family here. My mom had... only my mother would move to a place that's colder and snowier when she retired. Like most people go where it's warm. She loved Pittsburgh and wanted to come back. So, and had some other family here. So that's kind of what brought me back. And honestly, I feel much more at home in Pittsburgh than I ever did where I lived before. So seemed like it was meant to be or whatever. So
that's nice to meet you. One other question I had. Tell me about the instrument you're playing, because I was looking carefully at it. It looks kind of special.
This is a very unusual thing. I got this on eBay, and there was a label inside that was barely legible, dated from the 1930s, and it was, I could make out the word Nova Scotia, so it was some maker, but it isn't really made the right way. Like, it doesn't have purfling. The wood that was used for the pegs and the fingerboard and the all those fittings.
Tell me what it doesn't have again. Did you say?
Well, the
purfling?
Purfling, yeah, purfling is sort of a canal that is dug into the top of the violin to stop it from cracking. He just scratched lines to make it look like there's purfling, but there's no actual purfling. He didn't take the time to put purfling in. But the wood that he used for the other parts, I was working in the violin shop at the time, and those people have decades of experience, and nobody knew what type of wood that was. It must have just been something he had on the farm or something that he got plans from a book or something. But a lot of the inside wasn't quite right, so I had it basically restored. It sounds, it's, if I had to pick one fiddle to play forever, this would probably be it.
Because I think it sounds great.
Thank you.
And what caught me, are they called F-holes or S-holes? Or whatever
F-holes?
F-holes. Mm-hmm. Is that you can tell they're not crudely carved, but you can tell they're hand carved and kind of rough. It's
yes.
really neat.
They have character. It definitely
yeah.
has character. Yes.
Yeah, okay. That's a good way to yes. put it. And the instrument sounds really good too, but that has a lot to do with the player as well. Let's meet the woman playing fiddle, who's Carla Dundas. Hello.
Tin whistle.
Or tin whistle. I said flute. Of course
right.
you're playing tin whistle.
I wish
I could
play the fiddle.
I don't know why.
I would love to. Too late.
Playing the whistle with the fiddle. Tell me about yourself first. Are you from Pittsburgh originally?
Or? I'm actually from Northern Virginia, not far from where Vince is, but older, so our paths never crossed. I loved classical music from the moment I was born, I ended up playing oboe, like Vince, professionally for a while, and it was all I wanted in life, really. And then I developed this hand issue that unfortunately affects you know, about a percent of musicians. It's I won't go into the details, but it really kind of killed my professional.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Is it kind of like a carpal tunnel?
No,
or?
It's not an injury. It's a, they think it's a neurological
thing. Oh, and I don't mean to be so personal, but it's...
No, it was devastating because they didn't really have a diagnosis until maybe a bit later. So I was sort of early in the
identification. That would be frustrating.
Oh, for me, I ended up, once I got a diagnosis, I quit. I quit playing, and I tell people it's very much like getting a divorce. Like Vince, I didn't play my instrument. I didn't play music. I couldn't listen to music for 10 years. I don't know. I was then living in Cincinnati. I'd moved to Cincinnati, and happened to, again, luck, like in Vince. There was a little Irish music school that was getting started in Cincinnati, and I kind of got in the beginning of that and managed to connect with a wonderful traditional Irish flute player and whistle player named John Skelton, who's from London and very steeped in the tradition, and just a great teacher. He's a funny guy, taught you how to really respect the music. He said, don't take yourself seriously, take the music seriously, which I've always remembered that. And for me, it was like suddenly I had someplace to channel my love for music again. And, so I was kind of late to the scene, and I still struggle sometimes with my hand issue on it, but I love the music. It's such a community. It's such a... Anyway, it just gets into your bones.
You two are pretty special people because you both had early, really seminal relationships with music that underwent changes for different reasons, and this incredible separation that each of you had from playing, and in your case, even really listening to music, and then a renaissance of sorts once you discovered this form of music, and in your case, a different kind of wind instrument. It's very, very, thank you for sharing that with us. Now, how about the two of you? How did you start to play? Did you meet through the local Irish music scene, or?
There's a very nice session scene here, they would call it. That's just an informal gathering of musicians.
These are Kaylee's?
These are sessions, okay. So they're just music. People just get together for the sake of playing music together. And I'm sure that's where we cross paths at some point. It's a small community, so everybody knows everybody else. That probably would have been around the time I arrived here, probably.
Well, I also have to say that, so I had taken another break. My job got very stressful. So there were times when I didn't play Irish music for a while, too. But a dear friend of both of ours, Kathy Fallon, who was just a wonderful guitar player.
I know Kathy, and I love Kathy.
And she died last year.
Yes.
And Kathy kept telling me, there's this new guy in town named Vince Burns. You got to meet him. You got to come out and start playing. And so I'd say she
That's right. Yeah.
In many ways kind of enticed me to get back in, and she was kind of a glue for us.
She was always a connector.
She was. She was just a lovely player. She would be here if she
right.
was still here.
Right.
So we miss her greatly. But
if you're just joining us, Vince Burns is playing fiddle, and you heard the voice of Carla done this a minute ago, playing a whistle. And tell me the first song or what you opened with.
Those were two jigs, The Humours of Innisdiamon and The Humours of Ballylochlan. And the names are really just kind of placeholders to keep track of the tune. So, but those are towns in Ireland.
I was thinking they were jigs. I was going to take a guess. I've heard enough that I know enough to be dangerous, although I'm not sure anything would happen if I misidentified them. But
if it's deedly deedly, it's a jig.
I'm learning. Well, I know there are people who are saying right now, deedly deedly, Larry, let these folks play some more. What would you like to do next?
I think we'll do an Turlough O'Carolan harp tune, and that's one part of the Irish tradition that I especially love. He was an Irish harper. He actually went blind as a teenager, and one of the avenues available to somebody at that, and this would have been during the time of Corelli, I think, approximately Antonio, yeah. The Italian composer Corelli, so 16...
That makes sense.
16, yep. 1700, something like that. I should know that more better, but one of the avenues available to somebody in that situation was to learn something like the harp, because he could make a living. It turned out he was a very gifted performer and composer, wrote a whole body of tunes that have been passed down for hundreds of years, so it's a very special part of the traditional music. And he would typically name the tune after a patron, so he named this one after someone called Thomas Burke. So we'll play that one.
Vince Burns and Carla Dundas here live in our studios. You're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Thanks for doing that. Charlie Anderson writes, "Hi to Carla. Good to hear you. I did not know you were back in Pittsburgh. We used to play at Jams when you lived in Squirrel Hill."
True that. Yes.
And Charlie's in Morningside with Daphne. Thank you for checking in. Also, hello to James in Freiburg. We are glad you're tuned in. It sounds like these sessions you're mentioning are a great place for folks to come out and listen, learn, and maybe even join in. What's the best place? Are there any coming up that we should mention?
Yeah, there's actually a pretty nice ongoing scene at this point. The best way to check would be on Facebook. There's Pittsburgh Irish Sessions is the page where they kind of coordinate things. Right now they're meeting first Thursdays is at Cork Harbor in Lawrenceville, starting around 8. The second Thursday of the month would be the Harp and Fiddle in the Strip, and those usually start 7 to 7:30. Third Thursdays is Jay Goss Tavern in Greenfield. I think that's also around 7 to 7:30. Those are open sessions. If you haven't played before this style, it's probably good to come and listen a bit. There's sort of an etiquette to how to fit in, but it's certainly open to anybody that wants to come out.
Excellent.
The other thing is that this is really dance music. And so, Vince, don't you play at Harp and Fiddle? Mulaney's has a Kaylee every Tuesday.
I was going to ask about that, the difference between a Kaylee and a session. Does a Kaylee include dance?
Yes.
Kaylee is like a social dancing, so it's sort of like a contra dance, square dance, something like that. But it has Irish, maneuvers, which I don't understand. I'm not good at that, but I stick with the music. But every Tuesday, Pittsburgh is very unusual because most cities don't have this. There's a weekly Kaylee every Tuesday at the Harp and Fiddle that's free. It starts at 8. If you show up 7 or 7:30, they have a lesson and show you what to do. So there's new people every week that show up, and we have some live music for that. There's also another group called the All-Ireland Athletic Club, which I think is the oldest Irish organization in Pittsburgh. I know there was a certain point in order to be president, you had to be born in Ireland, which I think has changed as, people have been here longer. But that's a lovely group. They have usually the second Saturdays, they have a social. And that's not so much a session, but if you wanted to go and listen, there's very nice live music that we usually play for that. And that's the second Saturdays, the Verona Eagles, 2 to 5 is how they've been doing it during it. They take a break in the summer, but the rest of the year.
Wow. It's and the region's heritage is shining through with so many folks coming here. To think that you had to be born in Ireland to be president at one time, not that we don't have people born in Ireland here that are younger, but that's an interesting consideration. I know a couple weeks ago, I guess it was just last week, we were talking to Ellie McCulloch, who I'm guessing you know.
Yes.
And Pittsburgh Penny Whistle Day was a project he had, and he told me they did indeed distribute 72 penny whistles at the Irish Festival. Now you're an accomplished musician with your experience, as an oboist and other instruments. How was learning to play the penny whistle for you? Fairly simple?
Well, the fingering, believe it or not, is actually the basic scale is the same. All fingers down is the same note, and you go up the scale. The big thing, of course, on the whistle is very limited limited notes, limited scales that you can play, whereas oboe is, completely chromatic. So, of course, oboe requires a lot of air pressure, whereas the whistle, you can pretty much just breathe into it. So physically, it's much less demanding.
The whistle doesn't even have a reed, does it?
No.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It's just an airway. A lot of people think of it as a toy, and certainly it can be played by children. And many children in Ireland, that's where they start. But when I was learning, I remember hearing that probably the greatest whistle player ever is Mary Bergen. And the first time I heard her play, I thought, well, that can't be a whistle. It was so phenomenal and just so virtuosic that so it can be a very simple instrument or it can be a very hard instrument.
But like the recorder would
sure.
be.
Sure, yes.
Because recorders can be incredibly melodic
yes.
and beautiful, or they can be played like a toy.
Yes, that's right. Yep.
Well, what would you like to do next?
I think we'll do some hornpipes.
So those are do 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 do. Or
that is a hornpipe.
That is, yes. But it's not deedly deedly do.
It's not.
I'm trying to think of ways to identify songs.
Yeah.
Right. It's 4/4. like a...
That's a hornpipe. What she's saying is a hornpipe.
Well, that's the one everybody sings, I guess.
Right. But, and if you see the dance, you'd really feel, you know, you'll see it. It's much more percussive, I guess.
Well, let's listen together. If you're driving, don't speed up or anything. try to keep even tempo. Again, we have Vince Burns and Carla Dundas. Hornpipe, and Are the tempos to most hornpipes similar? Or are they usually 4-4 and played?
It depends on the use. The hornpipes we played were the Plains of Boyle and the Fairy Hornpipe, if you're keeping score at home.
Thank you.
If you're playing for step dancers, for like a performance or a competition, that's sort of like you see in River Dance, that type of thing where it's a person dancing.
They probably want something very specific.
It's very specific. It's usually slower, I believe, and because they're doing percussive steps that match with maybe the triplets that you're playing. When you're doing it at the Cayley, they usually want it much faster. And when we're just playing for our own enjoyment, then we just kind of pick what feels good. I don't like to do them too fast because you kind of miss the point. You know, you have to have some time to enjoy it. So.
I think one of the things about hornpipes, too, is the bump, bump. It always has that kind of feeling at the end of the phrase. So it's a very distinctive kind of rhythm.
Yeah, and it's there's a cyclical nature to it, too, that I can't explain. But just the way it builds and returns and builds and returns. It's really fun to listen to the music, and I don't mean to over-intellectualize it or examine it either. I think sometimes we just say Irish music and we forget there are many classifications and forms and ideas and things to listen to. So it's really fun to have both of you here doing it. Let's see. I'm just guessing that Charlie and Daphne were dancing to what you just played. I'm just guessing. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the case. I'm just guessing. If you're just joining us, Vince Burns is playing fiddle. Carla Dundas is playing tin whistle this morning. And we certainly have time for more. What would you like to do next?
Will this be the last one?
No. Okay. There's time. We have about 15 minutes of radio time.
Okay. I think I'll play some jigs. I don't get a chance to play enough jigs at the Cayley's. They don't use them that often, so I like to do when I can. I'll play three jigs. The first is called The Chapel Bell. It was written by Frank McCollum. The second is one of my favorite tunes, written by my mentor, Brendan Mullihill. He calls it the Carolina Jig. And I'll end with the Bridal Jig, which is just an old tune. Thank you.
makes it seem so easy. Yes. As you watch this guy play, and it's like, how does he do that? There's no flailing. If it were me, I would be flailing about. I would, Carla would have to have a helmet on next to me. do you two or either of you individually get out to perform beyond sessions to actually hit the stage every now and then?
I know sometimes.
We linked to Vince's website. You've got some recordings available up there, I thought.
There's a few samples with Kathy Fallon, which, you know, I didn't do hardly anything on those. She made them beautiful, as she was able to do. I'll play occasionally. Sometimes people will find me, and I think we've probably all played the various festivals around here from time to time when they come up. It just depends. I do it when somebody finds me, I'll be happy to.
Well, I hope, and I will go out on a limb and say, if you're perhaps looking for some music for a party you have planned or a gathering, that these two would love to hear from you and to figure something out. Wouldn't it be nice, you know, a fall gathering with some fiddle music in the background and whistle and be a little bit better than a Spotify playlist and a lot nicer to the musicians, too, in terms of doing that. So you can – is it okay if I give your address? It's fiddleburns, all one word, at gmail.com, fiddleburns. I like that, at gmail.com. And if you can also just write to us, and I'll make sure I pass that along to them. We have time for your last number before you play it. Is there anything either of you wanted to say that I didn't get a chance to ask you or give you room to say?
No, it's been
I think
a
it
lovely
was,
experience.
Thank you. Very excellent questions, and we appreciate that.
Yeah. I always feel like I have to ask that because sometimes you're itching to say something. So I'll thank you in advance for being with us today, and I'll thank all of our guests. And if I don't get a chance to, I'll thank you for listening today.
We're going to end with a well-known Turok O'Carolan tune, probably the best, most beloved tune, I guess, called Fanny Power. If you can only learn one O'Carolan tune, this would be the one, I think, to learn. And then three reels, The Duke of Leinster, Jenny's Wedding, and Jack Rose.